The reading this morning is from John chapter 4. You can find that on page 101 in the New Testament section of the Bible, and beginning at verse 5. Jesus and the woman of Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." Thanks be to God.
So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, very good morning. Nice to see you. Today is a special day in the calendar. Does anybody know what today is? There's a special commemoration today, which is not part of the Christian calendar, but generally today is International Women's Day. So moderately ironic that the only bloke up front is the one who's talking about it, but maybe that is okay, because we have a significant passage here where Jesus meets and talks to a woman, and there's a whole pile of stuff that goes with that. It does actually have one of my favourite awful jokes that goes with that, which is, who's the largest person Jesus meets in the New Testament? The woman of some area. Okay. Actually, we don't know very much about this person, but what we do know is where she's from. Now, Samaritans. Samaritans we tend to think of as good people, don't we? Okay, some of you will be aware of the organization where if you are feeling really bad about things, you can just ring somebody up and they are the Samaritan. And of course, that comes from the story that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan. But we miss out the fact that there's a shock value to that phrase, because Samaritans are not supposed to be good. Okay, Samaria is a chunk of territory in the middle, geographically, in the middle of Israel, the nation. So you've got Jerusalem down south, you've got Galilee up north, which is where Jesus has been raised, because Jesus was a northerner, I've pointed this out before. But they're going from Jerusalem, and in the last chapter, Jesus was speaking to some people in Jerusalem, and then they're going up, they leave Judea, which is in the south, and start back to Galilee. And it says then in the verse before Hillary started that rather mammoth reading, thank you very much, it says, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. It's the obvious route geographically, but it's a hazardous place to go, because if you travel through that country and you are a Jewish person going into Samaritan country, you're not necessarily going to get a good reception because they hate each other. Some of you will know Peter Kay's thing about everywhere that's sort of 40 miles away from each other, they all hate each other, whether you're from Hereford and Worcester or Manchester and Liverpool and all of that sort of stuff. But this is something like that, only more so, because also the Samaritans have a religious thing going on, because they think they are worshippers of the one true God, but the Jews think they aren't. They think they are people who are pretending to be proper worshippers of God, but they're really not. And there's quite a lot of hostility between them. So they're going through Samaritan country. They're going through this place where actually some of the time you would literally get thrown rocks at you for being Jewish, okay? There's a lot of tension going on. And they're going through this Samaritan country, and they come to a well. Jesus' disciples have gone off to try and get some food, okay, and Jesus is there by a well, and he is tired out by his journey and is sitting by the well, and it's about noon, and then somebody comes to draw water from the well. Now, is noon a sensible time to go and draw water from a well in a very, very, very hot country? Okay. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Actually, what's that about? This woman is probably coming to draw water from the well because she doesn't have anybody else to go with. Usually, women would come to draw water, and on International Women's Day, it's perhaps worth remembering that fact, that at that point, a lot of the sort of basic menial tasks of life would be done by women, and they would come, generally as a group of people, first thing in the morning, when it was cool, and they would draw water, and then walk back with the water to wherever they lived, and they've come to this particular well, and that's the sensible time to come. Why do you come at noonday? You come because nobody else wants to come with you. Why does nobody else want to come with you? Well, we'll come to that. And we have this point where a Samaritan woman comes to draw water, and Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Okay? And there are two things there. Why are you talking to me if actually we are people have got significant racial and ethnic tension going on between us? And also, what on earth is going on that you, a man, are talking to me, a woman? And this is both scandalous and also very, very unusual. Okay, to be fair, he's asking us to do some work for him. But this would be unusual, this would be scandalous, and so on. And it says, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Now, when it says Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans, actually, it was so much a case of rivalry that actually, if you were an observant Jew, you would view anything that had been given to you, just given to you by a Samaritan, as unclean. Okay, it was going to give you something nasty if you took it, and particularly if you drank it. And she's saying, what on earth is going on here? And he then has what's quite interesting. He has quite a long theological conversation with her about a whole variety of things. And that's quite interesting because not just does he have a theological conversation with her, she kind of argues back and they have a bit of to and fro, don't they? Okay, which is quite interesting. Did you do Nicodemus last week? So last week you will have had Jesus meeting down south, sort of Pharisee royalty, okay? This is a guy who's one of the teachers of Israel. And Jesus talks to him and he says, you just don't understand this, do you? You really don't get it, and you call yourself a teacher of Israel. And he's saying all of this stuff about being born again of water and of the Spirit. Again, we'll come back to that. And he talks to this woman and they have a bit of to and fro. They have a bit of to and fro, which initially seems to be about water and so on, but then gets on to some theological discussion. And it's quite interesting how they get onto the theological discussion, isn't it? Because actually, I think she might be using it as a distraction mechanism. Because he says, why don't you go and get your husband? And she says, oh, I haven't got a husband. And he went, well, you're right there, aren't you? Actually, you've got a rather more colourful past. Maybe that's why you are coming at noonday, because actually you're a bit of a social outcast and everybody thinks that your domestic arrangements are pretty awkward. And she goes, sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you... And off she goes. Let's not talk about my domestic arrangements. Let's talk about religion, shall we? Okay. And she talks about the difference between the Samaritans and the Jews in terms of what they think about how God should be worshipped. And then Jesus says something really interesting, and this is one of the things that I just want to land on, which is that basically he says, doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. Because actually what matters is not where you worship God, it's not which mountain you're on or anything like that. What matters is being a true worshipper who worships in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And maybe that slightly rings bells with the chapter before, where he's talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, you know, you're a prophet, and so on and so forth. And Jesus says to this man, who is born of all of the right people, and Jesus, remember, has a bit of a scandalous past of his own, because actually, if you're wondering who Jesus is, what Jesus' parentage is, and who his dad is, well, everybody knows there's quite a big question over that, don't they? And Jesus says to Nicodemus, look, actually, you need to be born again. And there's one commentator who says one of the things that Nicodemus will have been bothered about was who you were born from, where you came from, who your family were, who your mum and dad were. And Jesus says, to be honest, that doesn't really matter. What matters is being born of water and the Spirit. And Jesus says to this woman who's coming out with a bit of a religious dispute, how do we worship God in the right way? What's the right way to worship God? And Jesus says, do you know what? It doesn't really matter. And this time it's not water and the Spirit. They've had quite a bit of talk about water, haven't they? It's not water and the Spirit. It's those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And she says all of these things to him, I think all of the time, perhaps amazed that this Jewish man meeting this scandalized woman in a scandalous context, in a situation where they're really not supposed to be talking to each other for quite a wide variety of reasons, that actually he speaks to her and he talks to her and he engages with her. And there are several points where Jesus does this, and somewhat scandalously with women. You know, some of you will know that there's a point where there's someone who, again, is a foreigner, a Syrophoenician woman, who comes to Jesus and asks for something, and he basically says, well, why should I have anything to do with you, you filthy foreigner? Not quite. And she answers back. She answers back. And you know what? Jesus goes, yep, fair enough, okay. And there are these points where, and it's maybe worth remembering this on International Women's Day, Jesus continually engages with people who are female, who are not supposed to be answering back and not supposed to be having theological conversation, thank you very much. But actually, Jesus engages with them and talks to them. And what does he say? Well, to be honest, there's a whole pile of stuff that we get bothered about which really doesn't matter. We continually shut people out as being the wrong kind of people, whether they're just female, whether they're from a different place and they don't talk like us, whether they are not the right sort of people with the right sort of domestic arrangements and set up, whether they are people that actually you're just supposed to scoot by and not pay any attention to. It is these people that Jesus continually talks to and spends time with. And do you know what happens? That message gets out fairly quickly. Because actually, this woman, who's a Samaritan woman, who's been at noonday because nobody particularly wants to go with her, goes back to her village and says, I've met somebody who could be the Messiah. And you know what? He's talked to me, a Samaritan, as if the Messiah might be for the Samaritans as well as the Jews. And they go, right, that's a remarkable thing. And did you spot right at the end of the passage that Hilary read and needed the Distinguished Service Medal for getting to the end of? It says, they said to the woman, it's no longer because what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world. The Saviour of the world. If you were here last week, or indeed if you know John chapter 3, what Jesus says to Nicodemus at that point is the most famous verse in the Bible for many people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, so that everyone who lives and believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. And that is the world, the whole wide world. That is everybody. Whether you are the right sort of person with the right sort of parentage or the right sort of domestic arrangements or the right sort of accent or the right sort of whatever, or you're not. Jesus says to Nicodemus, right at the top end of the social scale, do you know what? All that stuff doesn't matter. He says to this marginalized and outcast woman from an outcast nation, do you know what? All of that stuff doesn't matter. Because actually the person that you are talking to and the person who is talking back to you is the Messiah, who is sent for all people, not just some people, not just the right people, but the wrong people and the outcast people and the people who've got nobody else to come to the well with them and the people who aren't supposed to be talking to him, but actually he's the one who talks back and welcomes and throws his arms open wide. We will come to this in a bit. and there is an invitation there. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, I can't come to communion because I'm not worthy. To which my standard response is, well, join the queue. Me neither. None of us is. None of us is worthy of ourselves. And yet we are counted worthy. And we are told that we are worthy. Because actually, I love that song that we sang before. Actually, we are who God says we are. Not who we say we are. Or indeed who anybody else says we are. That we are chosen and accepted and loved. And we are welcome to this table. As even a Samaritan woman out in the midday sun is welcome to talk with Jesus, to talk with the one who is supposed to be not talking to her, but actually who has that invitation. And as he has asked her for water, he then says to her, I have living water. You may be born again of water and the Spirit, because God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who lives and believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you bring today, there is a welcome. Come to the table, for we are all invited. In Jesus' name, amen.